here.
Yes.
You're here.
Yes.
And I feel like we have to say it again.
Again.
Friends, everyone makes mistakes, including us. I know you think of us as infallible technicians of failure. And we have, we've
succeeded at that.
Yeah, our expertise has not failed. Our last recording, we managed to kick the microphone cable out, proving that no matter how much technology changes, you can still wreck a recording by unplugging the damn thing.
Yep.
But so, now we're back.
We are back to do it again.
And we're going to do it. Well, here we go, is what they say.
Yes.
Things people ought to know. Item the zeroth was that. Item the oneth. I'm not good at numbers.
Okay.
Item the bleem.
Yes.
Yep. I was getting to it.
I'm curious.
I'm excited.
Item the bleem is
it's a big an important deal. Yeah, it's an important number. It comes right after plaid. We should back up to plaid. So yes. Plaid, of course, is welcome, friends. This is what is most likely going to be our final recording of this year.
Yes.
Which we're going into a toughie. And there's no...
Yeah.
And I think it's worth, as long as we've paused for a moment, to point out that...
Have we paused for a moment?
Well, yeah, we have. Are you reading cards right now? Are we doing witty banter? No, we're talking. We're talking to our friends.
Is that pausing?
Though? We are now. We've stopped right in the middle of plaid.
Okay, fine. Back to plaid.
All right, back to plaid. As you know, it's the end of 2024. This will probably land in your player around the beginning of, hopefully the beginning of 2025. And if you are especially like us in the United States, we're heading into a heck of a few years. We are completely aware of that fact. There is no part of us that doesn't know that. And after I finish with item plaid, we're going to do something that I consider is the best piece of advice I can offer anyone, which is to carve out a small amount of time where that's not what you're thinking about. I'm not saying don't be informed. I'm not saying don't be involved. I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. I'm saying you, my dear friends, are completely allowed to take a break for the purpose of stepping back from it. One of the things we have done with this podcast through our entire run of now our third year,
yes,
is to create that space where it's going to be a little bubble away from reality. You're going to get to take a break from all that stuff that's weighing you down.
We touch on it occasionally, but for the most part, taking a break.
Correct. And so I wanted to say, we're going to continue creating that bubble for you within this conversation. Understand that that means that there may not be some topics we're talking about here. I imagine that somewhere on the internet, someone is talking about them loudly right now. And if that's what you need, I respect that. You will not find it here. Please don't think that means we're not aware. Please don't think that means we don't care. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We are, like you, up to our eyeballs in it and need this break too. And so, closing out item plaid, if you don't have anything to add to item plaid.
No, I think you covered it on item plaid.
Closing out item plaid, we will continue providing you mirth, merriment, and distraction from your otherwise existential crisis in progress.
So, I know for me, I like to take a deep inhale and release it.
That's very soothing. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I enjoyed that. So moving on to plaid. No, from plaid to bleem.
On to bleem.
I lost track. I know it goes zero, oneth, plaid, bleem. It's very obvious.
Yes.
So, item bleem. I mentioned that this is our final recording of the year.
Yes.
And that's exciting because a lot has happened this year and a lot of good stuff. You know, we're not doing much of a building recap this time because we wanted to take the time to talk about
some other things.
But definitely there's the progress continues, the mission continues. And in because of that, we used to do this recording in a little chunk, and then we would go back to our lives. And now we've sort of interspersed it in between all the other projects, which means there are a few less of them a year.
Yeah, we've definitely found ourselves balancing it in amongst the rest of the work here at this old clown house. And it does make me start to wonder whether the concept of seasons still really applies.
I think it's a useful illusion to call each year a season, but it kind of, yeah, it kind of makes no sense.
Because we really would take a short span of time. We would
cram all the recordings in.
We would be recording once a week.
And then transcribing like mad.
Transcribe like mad, trying to get, you know, them out. I don't know if it was it every other week? It was close together. The point was fairly close together. And then we would do like 9 of those. And
we'd call that a year.
We'd call that a year. And then we'd take several months off, and then we'd come back.
Honestly, I got to the point, and I will admit this, I got to the point where I miss talking to you guys. Mm-hmm. I miss these conversations. By midway through the year, I'm itching for it. Whereas this year, we've had a nice, regular, ongoing conversation. Yes, there have been less of them. But I feel like it's been good because we are checking in. And mm-hmm. I've said that before. But also, I think this is the pattern. Now that we've done it for a year, I think this pattern is sustainable. And I think we're going to continue at this, you know, as we can sort of basis. Because we got enough out that I feel like, yeah, that was worth doing.
Yeah, definitely. I think as we can is probably how we're going to continue.
And for that reason, if you have ideas for questions, things like that, they become more timely because instead of having to wait for the next season of production, if someone sends us a question that makes sense to put into
the next episode,
we'll rearrange things. We don't plan these too far out.
No, we really don't.
I feel like that's kind of obvious.
I keep a list.
Do you?
But we do not go in order.
I think the thing I'm proudest of is I've gotten to where we choose the questions and then we put them down for a little while. And even though we just recorded and had a really wonderful talk that no one will ever hear, the best episode we ever recorded, I sit down now to answer the same questions again. I'm admitting that. I don't remember what they were at all. I cannot fathom.
I remember a couple of them.
Do you?
I do remember a couple.
Nothing. It's like a breeze went through my head and cleared it.
So we're going to have an entirely different conversation.
My opinions will likely change, as they are wont to do.
Yeah.
I've changed my mind a couple of times, like this since happens. Sitting down.
Yeah, this happens.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Zero, Wonth, Plaid, Bleem. I think we've covered the housekeeping stuff.
I think that's probably the housekeeping. Yeah, we will be keeping on keeping on.
Trundling through. Doing the thing.
We'll see whether this episode is the last one of the quote-unquote season, or the beginning of the next quote-unquote
season. It is episode 22. I looked that much up before I sat down. So at least I could say, happy 22nd episode. This has no bearing on anything. We're just really glad to get to sit down and talk to our friends.
Yes.
Yes. And that's the housekeeping. I mean, quick checklist, the microphone's on, we're full of potatoes.
Yeah, you know? Well, sweet potatoes.
Even better. It's cold, we got our first snow of the year. It was so loud you can hear it.
That was our second snow.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
I slept through the first one.
We had a first one.
I slept through the first one, it doesn't count. That was my first snow of the year. And it was beautiful. And I was sitting quietly and I heard it landing and I didn't know what that sound was because nothing I knew of went crunch in that way. And it was snowfall and it was gorgeous. And so I actually have achieved some small amount of wintry spirit. Ooh.
Welcome to winter.
Thank you. I'm cold.
As am I.
Yes. That's why I'm full of potatoes. The only way to stay warm. That and radiators. Or radiators.
I've heard both.
Which is it?
Well, the radiator tech came and looked at them last time we had to.
But did the radiator tech come and look at our radiators?
No, yes. He called them radiators.
Really?
Yes.
Folks, I would love to know. We have large metal things full of hot water in the corner of the room. Is that thing I'm looking at a radiator or a radiator or something else entirely? I would love to know what people think. If anyone wants to tell us, I would love to know.
I agree. I'd love your opinion.
Yeah, go on. Tell us. We'll wait. I just realized something.
Yeah?
We pre-record this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's on us. That's on us.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll just leave that in and keep moving.
So.
Yes.
We've filled ourselves with sweet potatoes.
And other wonderful foods. Don't limit me to a single potato.
And then
there is a lot of clown to feed here.
Yes, here too.
There's a small clown to feed there. It just eats tremendous. You eat more than I do.
I eat a lot.
You eat more than I do. But the point is, this, I'm gesturing at myself. This, in a big hand wavy sort of way, needs calories. It needs carbs.
I understand that.
Okay, so don't go mocking the carbs. Carbs are beautiful.
I was not mocking the carbs.
They make my brain work.
I was trying to get to the point where we talk about how we got here.
Here? You mean from downstairs on the couch?
Yes.
I'd like to point out that we have a couch in the lounge now.
We do have a couch in the lounge.
I got up off the couch. I grabbed my recording equipment from the cabinet of cacophony. I can't believe I said it correctly, but
well,
I think
done.
I did.
I think you did.
I did. I walked through a door into the lobby?
Lobby.
Yeah, the lobby. Up two flights of stairs, across a landing, across another half flight of stairs, down a very creaky, because it's cold, hallway, and through this door, where we entered this room, where at long last it occurred to us that we should probably point out that our friends are listening to
two clowns in a closet.
Did I go so long you forgot to hit it? Did I go too far?
Normally you say this episode of.
Well, we just did away with seasons. It just felt casual and comfortable.
But we're good. We're good.
Oh, we can go again if
no,
you
we did
want.
It. We
no,
did
I don't want to get into a fight with you
I'm
about it.
I'm not in a fight.
I feel like now you disrespected the vibe of casualness, and now I have to do this episode. Shall we take a break and hear from our sponsors? Here's a word from our sponsors. We don't have any.
No, we don't have any sponsors.
We just do this because we love you. And you love us, and that's why you send us messages on the internet, and we feel loved, and that is awesome.
And then we have questions that we can answer.
We're sponsored by weird questions from our friends on the internet.
Yes, that's exactly
what we should have
us.
Said. Brought to you by weirdos like you, who have asked us a weird question. Otherwise, we would just have to sit here and come up with stuff, and it would be hard, because all I have is potatoes and bad ideas. The ability to kick out a microphone cable. That's all I've got.
I think I'm the one who kicked off the
microphone. I refuse to let you take blame for something so critical to our infrastructure because it'll damage my trust. I'd rather it be my fault and it be okay.
I think we can share.
It's our fault?
Share the fault.
Oh, take my hand. Take my hand. We screwed up. That felt so good.
Yeah.
It did. It did. We screwed up together, and we got to do it again.
Now we're here.
I kind of love that.
So
because there's an alternate timeline where, you know, we did that, but this is like, it was so good we got to do it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. What did we do last? I don't even remember. It was a day ago. Oh, 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
2 days ago. And I don't remember. Things
I'm
happened.
Slightly concerned.
No, I don't mean like, I mean, I remember doing it. It's not like I'm completely lost. Yes, I have some brain fog. I've admitted to that. I'm talking about the fact that like the nuances of conversation have spilled out of my head because somebody jingled their keys near me in the last 2 days.
Keys?
Metaphorically speaking. I don't want to lose you.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right, then what?
The first question.
We're just jumping in, just like that.
Just like that.
I feel like we just got here. I mean, no, if you want to go, that's fine. I just felt like the banter was fast, choppy.
I don't think it was...
choppy.
It might have been a little bit choppy, but I don't think it was fast.
You think it was slow?
No.
That's weird. I did a weird voice, but I didn't slow down
much. You did not really slow down at all. You just dropped, you dropped the pitch.
That was weird. It's a bad take. It was a good take, because we're keeping it. But it was a bad take, because it wasn't good. Mistakes. That's today's, here, I'll help you out, episode of...
Mistakes.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So, earlier today, I'm gonna throw you under a metaphoric bus here. I said, do you want to do a quick sound check, warm up a little bit? You're like, nah, I got this.
I'm good.
Let's go. And I'm like, are you sure? Because I know it's been a couple of days and we weren't so good a couple of days ago.
And you what said, are you talking about? That was the best episode we've ever recorded.
I said, of course you're right. And then here I am and you're complaining about episodes. So I finally give you the ball. I finally hand it to you, friend. Welcome to this episode of Mistakes. Which is, of course, sponsored by...
Two Clowns in a Closet.
Because they won't let us out until we finish recording or kick the cable out again. That could be our new slogan.
That could be.
That could be. It won't be. But I like the idea.
Yeah. We can noodle on it.
I liked our old slogan. We had a slogan.
We had a slogan?
We got it in the mail. We got a card. One of you sent us a card. I have yet, and I'm going to be honest, I've yet to have figured out who it was. But one of you lovely people, after I commented on it, sent us an anonymous card in the mail which said, stop talking.
It did.
And then below it, and I love this, and below it it says, now start again, because we enjoy that. And it was
beautiful.
I still have it. It's not currently, it was out on display before we moved. It's currently still packed up. But it will be on display probably in the recording closet when we have one.
Yes.
But in the meantime, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that.
Slogans.
That's right. Maybe that's what we should do next year. We should ask everyone for their opinion of what our slogan should be.
We'll just like highlight that every episode?
Well, yeah, because the first time we did a contest, not a contest, but a creative challenge.
Yes.
We said, let's do remixes of our theme song. And wow, did everybody give us such good
stuff.
Those
were amazing.
I still listen to them sometimes. I have those. And then it was the one that we're doing right now, which was the visual art, which was the episode art. And we still are putting one on this episode. And I think we still have a few more after that. But then maybe the next one is suggest a slogan and we'll use it as the slogan of the episode. It's official. I've decided because I'm half the time. Well, all in favor, raise your hands. That's everyone's hands. That's my hand. That's Liam's hand. And a few of you raised your hands too.
I love it.
Okay. It's unanimous. It's official. This episode's slogan is send us your slogan.
Nice.
And we'll see where that goes. Yeah.
I like it.
I do too. I hope someone sends us a slogan before we record again. Otherwise.
Otherwise we'll be sloganless.
Which is not much of a slogan.
No.
We're sloganless. Okay, it's better than I thought.
Save it.
It was better than I thought. Don't we have a format we follow when we get stuck?
Yes, we do.
What is that format, friend?
I have this stack of cards.
And where did those cards come from?
My office. But the questions on them came from our listeners.
Listeners?
Yes.
Yes, those you lovely people. You sent us some questions. I remember, I was trying to help.
Would you like to hear the first question?
Are you asking them or me?
I'm asking you because we pre-record these, and even though I'm hoping they would also like to listen to the first question, I won't be able to get an in-person response.
I will answer your question that you just asked me before the questions that come after that, after I make one comment. One of you just nodded or said yes out loud to that question, and I love you because you're playing along. And thank you for that. It's important to me. I try really hard to pretend what you're doing. And I try to imagine you doing your thing. And at one point, you're just somewhere by yourself. And you're like, get on. Yes, I want to hear it. And that's the person I love right now. With that in mind, I'm going to go with their answer. Yes, I would love to hear the question. Get on with it.
Okay.
Right now. First question.
What's your take on the unintended and unwanted but growing competition in the world of professional clowning.
Competition and clown?
Yes. That's the question.
Competition. Okay, the brain is just, maybe it's the fog, but it just locked up because my immediate answer is I don't think it exists. There's so few people doing this work that I think most of the time that we end up having conversations about clown, most of those conversations are, try these skills, you might like it, you might do this, you might keep this energy that the world desperately needs going. I feel like so many more of my conversations are about that than competition. When I first got started, maybe there was a little bit because I had a lot of ego going in. I was like, I want to be great at being bad at stuff, which took me a while to understand how bizarre and useless that was.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think if you know more than me and you're kind, you're my teacher. And if you know less than me and I'm kind, you're my student, if you're listening. If we know the same amount, well, we're going to try to play together because that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think anything else probably isn't really in the realms of play, and more importantly, isn't in the realm of clown.
Well, I think you're right.
I don't want to rush an answer here, but my instinctual answer is how is competition a thing when what we're talking about is a mindset or a spiritual state or an energetic state or an intellectual state of playfulness. How is there competition in that? I mean, beyond within a game, sure. I mean, if we're playing a clown game and the clown game is tag, one of us gets the joy of being it. But after that, there's no competition.
No, I think you're right.
I think outside of that, maybe there's some sense of competition. I'm trying to suss an answer. I mean, maybe there's some competition between, you know, which entertainer gets the gig. I guess but even that doesn't.
That does exist to a certain degree.
Right, but that's about the professional work. That's not like in the world of the clown. That's in the world of getting a gig. That's a different world in my mind. Because frankly, we book our clowns and then our clowns just show up.
Yeah.
In fact, we very intentionally put a separation between, you know, them and that sort of stuff because I don't think they're at all compatible. So with that in mind, I don't think competition and clown are particularly compatible. I've even heard of some contests where there are, like, you know, how good is your clown makeup or your clown clothes or your clown sketch work or whatever.
How is that even judged?
I don't know. I know that, like, the American Clown Association has some stuff like that, and I don't even know how that works, because to me it seems so counter to the goal. If the goal is to be the best me I can be, I should be full of idiosyncrasies and failures and mistakes and silliness. I shouldn't be wearing the right color red, unless that's important to me.
So, yeah, but the only one who's going to know that
is me.
Is you.
In which case, unless, and maybe it's because I haven't been invited, maybe it's I come in the room and everybody just goes, oh, you're exactly you. Here's your gold star. And I go, wow, that's awesome. But again, that's not competition. So
yeah.
So I don't know the answer. And I stand here. I do a lot of death scenes for comedy. It's something I believe in strongly, because you should play with things you're afraid of. Wow, that was more honest than I intended. But I do think that this will be a hill I die on. And the metaphoric hill I die on is that I don't think there's any competition when we're really talking about clown. The minute we get to something not outside of a game, talking about competition, we're talking about something else.
What about status battles?
That's a game.
Okay, yeah.
So the idea, to unpack this for friends, because we went in the woods a little, there's an idea of theatrical status. You can read John Stone's book, Impro, and get like the best description of this. But essentially, my favorite description of this is like, it's little interplays between people who's in, trying to figure out where you belong.
Pecking order is.
Yeah, exactly, thank you. And you can do it. You don't just have to win by being the biggest in the room. In fact, my favorite thing about status theatrically is when you have two people who are relatively of equal status, the battle becomes more dynamic because they're both a 5 status out of 1 through 10, say, and one's trying to be more 5-y than the other. And that's hilarious because you're watching, you know, in the context of theater, two idiots argue over which one's the smarter idiot.
Yeah.
Which is really funny. My other favorite one is two old guys on a park bench. One of them goes, "Oh, my back." And the other one goes, "Oh, your back. You're so lucky. You just got back. I got back. I got knees. You're a picture of health." And that's like my favorite thing because it's so absurd.
Where the status is about,
I'm lowering my status in order to raise the other person and in doing so win by being the best at being the worst.
People are so messy.
People are messy. Status is rife with comedy. And it is a game that is played by clowns.
Yes, okay.
And so my answer to that question is
that it is a game.
It is a game the clowns play. Because clowns ultimately are all together and they're a team and they love each other. And there may be one who is the leader of the team, of the leader of the moment. I've done a lot of gigs where, and I don't want to say boss clown because that's more of an organizational thing. Mm-hmm. But like one of the clowns is clearly leading the energy at the moment.
Yes.
And everyone is fine. And we all agree, okay, you're following until you give that up. And if you give that up, you give it to one of us. And then the other one goes.
Yes.
And I've been on both sides of that.
Me too.
I find both fun in different ways. I find following more fun. Having a lower status is more fun because I have more freedom. And having a high status is more fun because I get to be more of a complete I mean, on stage. Again, on stage, that's what I like about those games. We have gone into the woods of tech theater and theater theory, and I love it, but I should probably pull back to the question and ask you.
Okay.
My glasses. The cards provided by my lovely friends. Hello. Here we go. What's your take on the unintended and unwanted but growing competition in the world of professional clowning?
So, this question has a particular smell to me.
How does it smell to you?
It smells like it's intended to imply politics.
I love how we just went silent.
And
I could do a room noise check on that. I'm kidding. Ugh.
And I have talked about my feelings on using the term clown or using the term clown shoes.
We did like a whole, I felt like it was a whole episode on that. Early on.
I don't know that we did a whole episode, but I definitely, I remember going on about it.
We'll link in the show notes to the episode because I remember you made some good points.
Yeah, so I think I have covered my feelings on using those terms to mean that thing I'm upset about or that person who has upset me.
Using clown as a pejorative?
Yes.
Okay.
I
didn't even think about it. I just assumed everyone loved us.
And I have one additional thought about this question in particular,
mm-hmm.
because of the statement of unintended is what makes me think that that's what they're trying to say, because you can't not intend to perform clown.
Oh, the performer has to know.
If you're doing clown.
Yeah.
If somebody is behaving in a way that's being read as clown and they didn't intend, I'll say to be comedic at the very least, because I think that your intent can be a little bit fuzzy.
Sure.
You don't have to be trained in clown or know that that's the word you're looking for. But if you're not intending to be funny and you're being read as though you're a clown, that's a moment of tragedy.
Or cruelty. Yeah.
And some small versions of that happen all the time, and some large ones do, but a lot of small ones happen without that being intended harm by anybody. But I think that if you are not intending it, it's not clown. So I agree with your assessment about this question, which is that the thing they're implying is happening isn't.
The thing you said about self-awareness reminded me of something. If I can, I have found a wild anecdote I'd like to bring to the table.
I would love to hear about your wild anecdote.
Bring my wild, hello, little anecdote. How are you? Sit next to the microphone and I'll share your story, since you don't speak podcast. I had a student. And the student currently is on my mind because they are now teaching, which makes me not a clown father figure, but a clown grandfather figure.
Baby clowns.
Baby clowns will soon be a result of my terrible choices, which I think is wonderful. But when I first met this particular performer, who has grown in leaps and bounds, and I would never say their name is Eli, but I just did. Eli Sellers, who is a dear friend, and when he first showed up, he was, and these are his own words, he was a wreck. And
I saw some of Eli.
You did.
It was rough,
and it was amazing. Once at somewhere in the middle of that journey, he concerned me. Because he was so on and off. I used to joke he was a stopped clock. I used to say, you're like a stopped clock. I don't know if you're on or off. I don't know, you know, maybe twice a day you're right, and the rest of the time, what is this? And I would throw him off the stage, and then he would come back and be amazing and would blow all of our minds. Or he would come in amazing and then the next beat he'd be gone again. And I honestly was worried that he wasn't really there in the way we're implying. I don't mean to say something about, I'm not saying something about my friend's mental health, Eli's mental health. I'm saying, like, maybe he wasn't self-aware of what was happening. And there's a learning curve to this, but I'm talking about something bigger than that. And I ended up behind his back. And I feel okay saying this now because I have told him this story. Mm-hmm. And if I haven't and I've forgotten to tell him the story, he's going to hear this. His mouth's going to hang open. He's going to be very angry and he's going to call me and it's going to be fine. So I had a mentor. So the great-grandfather, the grandfather of the clowns, and I happened to be at dinner one night, and long ago, and we sat down, and he was telling a story about a student with kind of a similar, I don't know, and I said, I have a question. How do you know if someone... And in the case of the student he was talking about, who was, you know, I don't even know who it was, but they were literally a not well person who had wandered into a clown class thinking that would be fun and had to be returned to the home they were from. It was a whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it took them a while to notice because clown can be like that. Yeah. And clown is very accepting. And then you go, whoa, this person needs support. This room can't provide. We need to pull them out. And the reason why was when they were funny or when they weren't funny, there was no difference. And I said, well, how do you know something like that? What made you figure it out? And the grandfather of clown said, at a certain point, can they take a note? Can they self-reflect? Which speaks to your self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And so I had this note about, you know, because I honestly asked the question, am I, you know, with the case of Eli, going back to Eli, am I helping Eli or am I just torturing someone who isn't there, you know, in this self-aware way? I didn't know. He said, if you could take a note, it's just him struggling his way through it. So I took that, I took a deep breath, and I went back to the lab and I proceeded to pound on Eli. I mean, just really hit him with everything I could and give him notes. And there was a corner turned. And I want to be clear on this point. There was a corner turned. And while he's still kind of a stop clock, because all clowns are, myself included, when that clock is at the right time, it is brilliant. And it's a joy to watch. So for that...
And he clearly can take a note and make improvements.
And that, exactly. Yeah. And the takeaway is he can take the notes, he can learn from the notes. And he came to me at one point and he said as much without my prompting. So that was the end of the story. And I said, you know, I had asked someone for advice on this. And I was looking for that. I told him that. We were, it was actually, you will know when this is, they won't. I used to teach at the Bathhouse Cultural Center.
Yes.
And the last night of the workshops we were teaching there.
Ah, yeah.
He came to me and I was sitting in a chair. And I was the only one in the room that knew that program was shutting down. And we were moving it. I mean, we already had a plan to move it. It was fine. But he just knelt down next to my chair. I was sitting down for a minute, just kind of processing all of that. And I hadn't made the announcement yet. And he said, I want you to know, you know, you've taught me a lot. Those notes, those hard notes, they really helped me. And it was one of the most validating moments for me as a teacher. And it was a sign that, oh, self-awareness is a big part of this work. You have to dig into yourself. And when you think about the fact that this work is also built on, we have to mine our own emotions for material. We have to mine our own history. You can't just take a joke you saw somewhere and do it. It will never be yours. You have to somehow bring something of yourself. You know, whether it's me doing brokenhearted silliness or, you know, you looking at physicality and movement. Yeah. You have to bring these things and musicality and so many other things. you have to bring these things into the work. And I think that requires a lot of self-knowledge, self-awareness, and being present in it. That is a demand of it. So yeah, I think you're absolutely right. That it is it's a part of it. And if it isn't there, it isn't clown.
Yeah.
I'm going to set the anecdote free. On you go. Goodbye, friend.
Goodbye, anecdote.
Such a lovely anecdote. So nice to have them stop by.
Yes.
All right. I should read you a question.
Yes.
Since you tolerated me wandering off into the anecdotes field for a minute to pick up a fresh one. Not so fresh one. Now, I now really need to shoot Eli a hello.
Yes.
Now I have to. Okay, so I will do that. It's on my to-do list. Hello, Eli. There you go. An intentionally open-ended question, because the last one was very narrow, as you noticed.
It was.
That's what it says on the card, an intentionally open-ended question. What is the role / responsibility of the clown in a fractured society? Sorry, wait, in fractured society.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no question in my mind that we live in one. Between all of the different online social spheres that we end up in, and just, yes, we definitely do.
I saw you walk right up to the ropes of the real world and look off the side.
I decided not to go.
Yeah,
there.
So
we
you
stepped
back. I'm proud of you for that.
The role and responsibility of a clown. I have a feeling that there are a lot of different answers to this question. Mm-hmm. Because clown is never just one thing.
If it was, it'd be simple.
And I know that for me, mm-hmm. I have been looking for more answers to this question as we've found ourselves, and I do mean you and I specifically, not engaging in certain parts of online social media, and then having moved to a brand new physical location. There's a fair amount of isolation feelings.
This is a bit of a clown monastery, which is a description somebody else gave us. I would probably not have said anything so nice.
And it has had me thinking about what and how to use the skills of the clown for.
What'd you come up with?
And I think I've been thinking a lot about interacting with the people who I do interact with, which sounds a little silly, but we've only got so large of a sphere of influence.
As people, or us particularly?
As people.
Okay.
Some people have larger spheres of influence who interact more regularly with more people. Some people have smaller ones. And I think you pointed out that there was a different job of the clown performer who goes and gets gigs, mm-hmm. and the clown itself.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that there's a strong argument that the clown performer's job includes increasing your sphere of influence, coming up with more gigs, running, seeing more people.
The hustle side of it.
But the clown has to focus on where they are in the moment and who they're interacting with in the moment, who is their audience of the moment. And I think that one of the things the clown is really good at is helping people feel seen and heard and understood, because one of the big things that clowns do as sort of an everyman character is fail. And I think that, and fail in a way where they get back up again.
That's what we love. That's what we love about them, is they fail and then they stand up.
And I think everyone can see some part of themselves in that.
Oh, sure. I hope so.
And I think when you're feeling alone and when you're feeling like you are part of this fractured situation where there's so few people who you feel understand you.
Mm.
Feeling seen, feeling heard is huge. And I think being able to do that for people, you know, however many people I can, is a huge part of the role of the clown. I won't say it's the only role or responsibility, but I think that it is definitely one way that we can be helping.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. And I think it's, I also think it's very accurate.
Yeah, so I think that's my answer. So I will ask you.
Okay.
An intentionally open-ended question.
Okay.
What is the role / responsibility of the clown in fractured society?
You know, this sort of question comes up a lot because we talk about echo chambers and silos and disconnection and the sort of pandemic of loneliness that is a part of our modern world and disconnection. We talk about this all the time,
mm-hmm.
In whether it's in mental health or in performance and entertainment. It's a constant topic, with good reason. It needs to be discussed, and we need to make connections. And I used to have this little rant I would run through very quickly, where I'd explain that, you know, in the early days of circus, there was silence. We were all from one town. The circus showed up. We made a bunch of noise and we moved on. And it was great because we put some noise where there was previously silence. And that was important because we needed the release. At a certain point, the world modernized and it became very loud.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the weird powers the clown had was to adapt to that and become very good at creating a little sphere of silence, like a little bubble. And it was so much mime, but also, I just mean like we suspend a moment in time and really look at it. The way you sometimes look at a painting and you more than just, yeah, it's pretty color, but you really see something, mm-hmm. and you have an emotional experience. The continuation of that starts approaching where you are, which I think, once you have that capacity to create a bubble, well, you can draw attention to things, which is helping people be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I talk about all the time is creating that bubble for other people, which is like one part of teaching, which is, you know, so much of the mission here is going to be is teaching. But another part of it is helping people, even when it's you performing, feel like their voice is in it somehow. Just a little bit. There's an empathy.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I've noticed through all of this is that once you have that ability, people let you go anywhere because you're entertaining. If it's silent, we'll let you go. If it's loud, we'll let you go. We get this thing where we believe that the clown can take care of it. The clown will adapt to fill whatever space is required, which allows us to sneak in and do things. And we get places we have no business being, and we help where we can. And what I've noticed that leads to is it's almost like mediumship for the living. We can,
whoa.
Yeah, you know, mediums talk to the dead for the living. Clowns talk to people for other people. It's almost like we remind people to connect by showing them you've connected to me and you've connected to me. You know, you two could do the same thing. That's, I mean, really one of the best successes as a clown I can think of is if I'm playing a game of some sort with people, a theatrical game. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they start playing it together because they no longer need me and they have their moment and I can literally go on to the next one. That means I've left my energy behind. They were separate. They were fractured. They were from different shards of reality and yet they've come together and they've connected. I have a somewhat politicized version of this that always comes to mind. There was a library program that we were invited to do a teaching day at. And we would do this every few years. We'd come and we would be teaching. And it was some years ago. And this does venture near that rope marked real world. It was as we were leading up to a very 2016. It was as we were leading up to a very controversial election. One like you can imagine now.
Mm-hmm.
People were very divided. We were in a very divided city. And at one point, I was teaching plate spinning, which is where you have a stick and you're spinning a plate. And there was this, and you help people do this, and you step back and you watch it. And there was a moment where I watched these two guys. They had been playing with their kids, but they both decided to take a moment at random and grab a stick and grab a plate and finally try it for themselves. And one of them spun it up, and at that moment I noticed his red hat and what his shirt said. And the guy across from him had a different hat and a different shirt, and they were both looking up at the plates and smiling. And they both kind of looked out the side of their eye, mm-hmm. and then there was another adult trying, and they both smiled. And I walked away, mostly out of fear. But also, there was this moment where I'm not going to suggest that that's going to fix everything. Again, we don't focus on that. That's not, we don't go past that rope. But what I'm going to say is there was a moment where the clown was able to bring people together in a way that they otherwise never would have, because the weird way that clowns come into things kind of sideways, that weird sort of way that we saddle up to people and make them comfortable. Well, if you can be comfortable with me and this other person can be comfortable with me, well, I guess we can all stand next to each other. And that's what it was about. The clown sort of normalizes that behavior of we can make small tribes for a moment. Even if they're imaginary, even if they're make-believe, even if they're contrary to reality. Well, reality's all made up anyway. And it's certainly very contrary. And it's all made up of people's opinions. Being able to do that suggests those opinions can change. Even if it's only for a moment, I think that's a critical work of the clown. And it's something we can do now. And I think that's my answer.
I think that is a fantastic one.
Good, then I'm going to shut up before I wreck it.
Well, don't shut up for too long, because I've got another question for you.
I've gotten cards that tell me to shut up, stop talking, and then start again, so go on. Hang on, wait. Big sound. I'm wearing a zippered hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to unzip it, and it's going to be really loud.
That was significant, but I doubt it was as loud as you were worried.
I'm opening up. You notice I'm getting warm, I'm getting excited, and I'm opening up. But also, I wanted to make a big zipper noise, because I think it'd be funny. And I wanted it to be loud. You're right, I wanted it to be louder. I was like, are you going to read me the question, or am I going to sit here and let me make a fool of myself?
I mean,
we could do both. hang on. We'll do it one more time. Got to put the zipper back together. You know, that's the rules. I don't make the rules, I just...
Nice.
Yeah, I felt pretty good. Thank you. I appreciate your loving tolerance. Question.
Russ has mentioned, quote, my option was to either be sure about everything or accept that I didn't know things. End quote. What are some things you learned because you accepted you didn't know things? And what's your favorite thing you didn't know?
Oh, well, let's start off by saying I know that guy.
Yes.
He sounds real smart. But he's left me here to answer this question. So I remember that conversation and what it was about, because it was about sort of that you can't be the all-knowing idiot was, I think, the thing I finally said.
That sounds about right.
Something
yeah.
about that, yeah, something about that level of crass. But it's this thing where if you're not listening to people, if you're not capable of being changed, you're not really present. You're just letting ideas bounce off of you. And I think that's kind of what this speaks to, you know, that idea. And so the question is, what did I learn once I...
What are some things you learned because you accepted you didn't know things? And what's your favorite thing you didn't know?
You sound sorry. I wasn't listening. So I wanted to hear it again. So Favorites are hard for me because my mind changes all the time. Things change all the time.
Well, what's your favorite today?
Yeah, exactly. That was where I was heading. What's my favorite today? I think once you get away from the high standing, oh, I know everything. I know I'm wise and learned. You can not only be wrong, but you can be blown away by the reality of things, which eventually, beyond excitement, leads to curiosity. And curiosity is where all the cool stuff lives. When you can get to, I don't know, and not put dirt on top of it and hide it from other people, you go, I don't know. The next sentence is logically, but I am interested in finding out, which may lead to comedy, and it may lead to knowledge, and it may lead to a brick wall. It doesn't matter. Nothing happens if we're hiding the fact that we don't know stuff. So I think the thing I'm most excited about when you stop being all-knowing is that there is this space that exists after the discomfort of not knowing, after the not hiding it, after dispensing with the shame of it, where how exciting it is not to know.
Yeah, but what did you learn?
That! That's the thing that's my favorite. The very fact, because when you're so busy, let me restate so it makes sense. When you're so busy being full of crap that you're covering up all of that lack of knowledge with BS, when you're doing that, you don't get a chance to ever admit you don't know. You might not know. You might even go, well, please tell me, I'm interested. But you never, because it's not that's interesting, it's I'm interested. It's so hardened up and turned in on itself, it becomes selfish. There's never a moment where you just get to explore the joy, both the empty, vacuous, uncomfortable space of not knowing stuff, and the silly joy that comes with learning a thing. Sometimes it's, whoops, gravity works. But sometimes it can be really beautiful, and it can be really interesting and really exciting, and you get amped up. I think that's the thing I didn't know. I think I was so concerned with being armored up, with being correct, with being right, with being the wise and learned expert of all things, that there was no room for me to find out that not knowing stuff is fun because it means you get to know stuff. Not pretend to know stuff, but eventually a little tiny bit really know it is one of the outcomes. So I would get what I wanted if I would just let go of that. That desperate armoring that comes from not letting people you don't know. Because, you know, the hand-wavy game, and I think to the difference between the performer and the clown, the performer walks in the room and says, oh, everyone, don't worry, I'm the expert. I, of course, will pretend I don't know what's going on, but I know everything. The clown comes and goes, this is neat. I have no idea what's going to happen. And one of those, if you're doing it, if both are genuine, mm-hmm. The one where you really don't know is so much more fun than pretending you do. It's more fun to not know. And, okay, if I need another favor, once I do know something and I'm not kicking dirt over the I don't know, and I've gotten through the I don't know, and I've gotten all the pleasure, now I've got a thing that I learned and I'm really excited about, if I can dispense with ego, I can share that with people. They can get in on it. That's really exciting. There's this, hey, check it out.
You are vibrant.
It's cool.
You are bouncing.
It's really cool. I'm very excited about the idea. I don't ever want to be the person who's well actually or reply guying, or I don't want to be that person. But when I do know something and I can help, my favorite words, it turns out, that I get to say, and no one can say it to me and it mean a thing. And I can't choose to say it and make it work. But when I end up in a situation where someone is grateful that I gave them knowledge and I answer with all honesty, I'm happy to help. It turns out those may be the most true words I ever use. There's something about that feeling of, yeah, I'm happy to help. What did I do? I helped. How did it make you feel? Happy. Is that complicated? No. Does it mean you knew everything? No, but it means you knew something that helped. I knew none of that because I was so caught up on step one. Don't let anyone find out you're full of crap. I was so caught up on that. That was everything there was. And it's so, yes, it comes off meta that the opposite is true, but the opposite is absolutely true. What else did I learn? Don't be full of crap. I mean, honestly. Stop acting. Stop pretending. The fact that you don't know may be more interesting, may lead you to something more interesting. It may be more fun. It may be scary. Oh, it may. Not knowing is uncomfortable. Somebody goes, all right, who knows where to stand to be? Go stand in the place you stand where you don't get shot. You're like, I have questions. That's a very bad scenario not to know things. Comical. But other than that, outside of real dire emergency, it can be quite a bit of fun if you let go of the ego and the worry that someone's going to find out. I think what it is that you learn is that you're completely free of imposter syndrome when you get to that place because you've already admitted you're a fraud. You've walked in the room and go, I know nothing. And then people go, do you though? And then they find out, oh, you don't. Wow. Okay. And the other thing is that people are a lot nicer to you. When you don't walk in the room acting like you know everything, well, for one thing, if you do know something, they're really impressed. They're like, wow, you actually knew something. I'm shocked. I mean, they're blown away. I'm starting to realize why Eli was so smart. Because when he was smart, we were like, oh, we all thought you knew nothing. You did know something. Oh, okay. I get it now. See, I'm learning. But I do think the discovery that the thing that gets in your way the most is getting in your way. Which sounds, again, like I'm hand-waving over it, but it's a big meta idea. There's no little thing I learned that was really good. I mean, there's probably 1,000 little things because I was more open to receiving. Because that's the other thing. When your fist is closed, you can't take anything in. You're just a fist. You just punch. That's all you know. When you open your hand, you're able to accept things, you're able to give things, and you're able to be hurt more easily because that's a vulnerable position. But it's also where all the good stuff happens. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that is not a thing you are even aware of. When you're so busy being right, you don't have a chance to process any of that. So that's my answer.
Okay.
Do you have any thought? I mean, I know it was aimed at a quote I said, but I think you have things you have learned.
I expect so.
I'll ask you. Some fool has mentioned my option was to either be sure about everything or accept that I didn't know things, which I admit that fool sounds a lot like me. What are some things you learned because you accepted that you didn't know things? And what's your favorite thing you didn't know?
Yeah, of course, this was very much a particular moment for you.
It had to be conscious because I was doing it so actively.
But I was somewhat along for that ride. Like, I remember when you had...
Oh, yeah.
When you had that moment. And I know that admitting that I don't know things was something that I have always struggled with. I was that kid who didn't want to go ask the teacher something because I felt like I should already know it. And I have had many different people in my life feel the need to tell me that if I already knew everything that was going on in the class, then there would be no reason for me to be in class. And that did not help.
And simultaneously, they call it common sense, but it's not common.
No, because everything is...
Is taught.
Everything is taught.
So what have you learned since you got a little more comfortable with this idea?
And I think... I think it actually hits right there on the everything is taught. I think when I started opening myself up to the idea that I didn't know about things, that then led to the secondary idea of I don't know what it is I don't know.
Ooh.
And then somewhere along the line hit the point of neither does anyone else.
That's a big area.
And that allows for totally different ways to connect with people. Because it's very, very easy to assume that everybody's coming from a similar background. Or everyone's coming from something of a similar background, because we've run into, I think it's a fairly common experience for human beings to think that the way they have experienced the world is the only way there is to experience the world.
And yet we were just talking about fractured society a moment ago.
Yes. And I think for certain periods of time, that has been more true for who one might be interacting with on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. Because, okay, we're in America, where there's 3 television channels, which means everyone watched a third of all of everybody who might have had a television on last night watched the same thing, right? Which is oversimplification and inaccurate because it's an oversimplification,
but also more true than you'd like to admit.
But it has a certain amount of truth to it. So there's been periods of time and certain ways in which that's been accurate. And the more we find ourselves in a fractured society, interestingly, we're getting to be able to see more clearly how much everyone's experience is different.
And how much of it's made up.
How a lot of it is made up, but even just, it's different. So the fact that I know that if a breaker on a breaker panel gets tripped, that it will, that switch will flip, but only a little bit. It actually looks like it's still on, unless you're really paying attention. It doesn't go to a full off. It goes to this midpoint where it's indicated that it has been tripped. And you can't turn it on from there. You have to turn it off first. And then you can turn it on. And I encountered somebody who I was working with when, in a building I was in, a breaker got tripped that had never gotten tripped before. And another adult person had no idea what to do and looked at the panel and thought everything was fine. And I had to go back and look at the panel and go, oh, no, this one that is ever so slightly off from being on.
I'm so relieved that you provided enough details that it's pretty clear that this didn't happen here and this wasn't my fault.
No, this was not you.
I know that. This was somebody else. I'm just glad it's on the record now. So I was like, I knew this.
And that it had to be flipped off before it could be flipped back on. They had no idea.
Why would they?
And that was the follow-up of, why would they? I happened to, because I grew up in a house where my parent was responsible for flipping the breaker if one tripped. And one did enough times in my childhood that I learned about this. It never came up again the entire time I was living in apartments.
No.
Because that's somebody else's job. So if I had never lived in a house where my parent was responsible for doing it, I, in all likelihood, would totally not understand how that worked. And that is not a fault thing. That is not a expectations. It's a what you happened to have experienced, and therefore what you happen to know sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so easy, and I hear it all the time, of people thinking, oh, well, if people would just use common sense, and they think that that is even a thing that exists.
Because none of it's been, there are so many things that just haven't been taught for one reason or another.
And so there's plenty of people who would think that that situation fell under the category of common sense, when the reality is it's something that I was taught.
Well, everything is.
Because everything is. And once you really realize that, and you really realize that people are just going to have run into what they've run into. And they haven't run into whatever this thing is that you happen to know about and they happen not to know about. Explaining it's easy. You can make it very clear that you don't have any sort of... You don't end up issuing a blame statement because someone didn't know something. And you can invite people to learn. And if you don't know things, and somebody else does, you can also not put them up on this weird pedestal as person who knows all the things and I know nothing.
You know, you both know a different subset of things.
You both know a different subset of things. Now you get to share.
I think the cool thing in theater, when we get into the lab, and once we've shared, there's like a baseline set of techniques. Mm-hmm. I think one of the really fun things that happens is once everybody has those techniques as a common language, that's when really fun things start happening. When those things are in your reflexes a little bit, so everybody knows where to look and when, and how to give, you know, your performing partner that support they need, and how to, you know, share a moment, how to share the space on stage. I think at that point, that's when things start happening, because they all have just enough overlapping information that all the other stuff that's interesting and unique about them spills into the room. I think that's what we're talking about there.
Yeah. And I think getting out of assuming, sometimes situations really and truly have prerequisites like that. Mm-hmm. You have certain base knowledge where we need to run through that and make sure everyone's on the same page.
Sometimes it's for safety.
One, you get the once you open up about the fact you don't know everything, you get much better at being very clear about what the prerequisites are, mm-hmm. and making sure you know where everybody actually is on the same page. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes language makes it sound like people are very close to the same page, but they're absolutely not. And you get much better, yeah. as you practice not knowing things. Yeah. You get much better navigating through finding out whether or not we know the same things, and what we're going to settle on for what we actually mean when we're talking about this or we're talking about that. And you get better in situations where there aren't explicit prerequisites, remembering that there weren't explicit prerequisites and not everyone's going to be on the same page.
That's a good point.
That's what I think that's the big takeaway that I've been having as I've gone down that same sort of path.
That's interesting. I think it's neat that both of them come. Because I watched your face when I started talking about the not knowing was the thing that I had learned, mm-hmm. the value of that. And you kind of like, come on, that's not really an answer. And you've really, it's the long way around because it's your own journey, but it's sort of the same answer. And I think it's really interesting. I'm not saying, haha, I'm right. I'm saying it's really interesting because we haven't really talked about this. But that seems to so often be the path. And I've heard the same kind of story. And I've heard teachers chestnut this down to things like it's important not to know too much, yeah. and just summarize it with that, which is great. And I've said that, but it never opens up the because it's awesome when that happens. You never get that. And I think it may be, and this is the irony, I think it may be because that's assumed.
Yep.
And that I'm going to leave that there. I have another question for you.
Okay.
This one is a deep episode. So it's another deep question.
All right.
All right.
Let's friends. Go for another deep, deep question.
Are you ready?
I am prepared.
You yes. are prepared. All right. Friends, are you ready? I think you are. Would you rather be a fruit fly or the word the?
The word the.
Okay. Okay, moving on, or would you like to unpack that?
I like to be helpful, and the word the is just exceptionally useful.
How is it useful?
It is a key part of language to be able to say the thing. And a fruit fly, I am confident that there is some way in which a fruit fly is beneficial to an ecosystem, but I am unfamiliar with it, I'm going to say the.
All right, well, there it is.
So, how about you? Would you rather be a fruit fly or the word the?
Okay. Mostly because you chose the fruit fly, and I just feel the need to be
contrary. I chose the word the.
You chose the word the. I'm going to choose the fruit fly.
Okay.
There are a couple of reasons why. Number one, I know this is a thought exercise, and when it's done, I get to go back to being me. Because fruit fly has a short, exciting lifespan. They wake up in the morning, and by the end of the day, they're done.
I'm not sure that's true. I think they've got at least a couple of days.
Okay, but a couple of days compared to my lifespan, they don't have time for dullness. By the time I've gotten out of bed and to my cup of coffee, they've made it through college. You know, if you look at time, they're having adventures. Stuff is going down and they're tiny. The world is massive. It's always happening. Everything's like a rave because fruit fly society must be a constant party. Why? Because you know it's coming. You can feel it coming. So you party. So I'm going to say, because I have this lifespan that I'm currently having and I get to go right back to it, I'm going to choose that. Plus one other reason, and it's a negation reason. That's why I didn't lead with it.
Okay.
I think the definitive article, the, is wonderful because I can say, hand me the unicycle. But I, you know, hand me the piano, probably not going to come up. But
That's a very specific moment.
It is a specific moment. Hopefully you hand it slow. But the definitive article has its uses. But one of the things it does is it narrows things down and it puts things in boxes. And I know that my nature, I really love being uncategorizable. I feel like there's a freedom in not being too clearly defined. A lot of my outer edges are very clearly defined. I am an old graying orangutan, but internally, no one knows. I'm not even sure. And because of that, I think there's a great freedom if I avoid nailing things down too firmly to change, to evolve, to become something other than what I currently am. And that thing is the thing I might be interested in being. Like, for example, I can be a fruit fly for a moment. So I'm not going to go immediately to the definitive article, even though it feels important, because I want to try to explore something else. And I'll leave that for you, because I'm kind.
Okay.
Not something people would have expected, because I wasn't too firmly nailed down. See what I did there? I changed the opinion people had. For a moment. Aha. Hee hee. Ho ho.
Okay, Mr. the Clown. Next question.
Oh, there's more.
There is another question.
After the fruit fly. I thought the fruit fly thing would certainly have been our buzz off. The question.
The question.
The question.
Imagine.
Hang on. Okay, I'm ready.
You wake up one morning with swapped clowns. Each just appears in the other's brain, bringing what they know with them. What would that be like? What would you do?
Wait, so I am to imagine what it'd be like to wake up with your clowns?
Yes.
That's just very uncomfortable. Okay, so, you know, if it's Chadwick, I'm going to immediately hydrate because I know I'm going to be crying at everything.
It's true.
I'm going to be a sad boy. And I don't even know how to do that. I'm not good at crying. I'll get a good cry in for sure. That's good. But I'm going to salt up first because constantly, which is hilarious on stage, but to do it, I worry about you.
Yeah. It takes that pre-hydration. Good choice.
Yeah. Thank you. I've learned. And if it was Jane, I would immediately go to the theater downstairs. And the reason why is that's where all the props are. And I would do everything I know, because of every clown I've ever worked with, Jane has maybe not the best skills, but the most physical awareness of anyone I've ever interacted with. And so I would want those notes of, oh, the reason why it's not working is you need to move your elbow slightly. Oh, you need to do this. I would learn in like one session, I would learn things.
Now, I will warn you, she does not tell you anything.
You don't know how it works in here. The clowns are swapped. You don't get to give me notes now. They're mine for a minute. Like the fruit fly thing.
Okay.
It's mine.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry I yelled. I got excited. I'm not going to cry, though. Even though, you know, it's here now. I got the chat. Yeah, but I think those are the two things that immediately come to mind because they're both very fundamentally different than how I operate. Because while I certainly use my physical skills, they're not a thing I have. I, the performer, have a deep how many hours I spent to be able to do that thing awareness. But that's just stuff they do. And then, you know, certainly have a lot of emotional access. I'm not much of a crier. I wish I was. I wish that was a thing I was going to get one good loud sob in, but I don't generally have that weepy cry. Not as a rule, not as a rule.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be useful. It'd be educational. I think I would learn things. So yeah, I think that's the answer. I think that's the answer to the question. I don't know. Because there's also, I mean, there are other clowns that are little personas you've played with that I don't know well. I don't know their names.
Mm, yeah.
There was, you know, the side pony thing that showed up in the workshop that we hated so much.
Oh, yeah. That
if she showed up, I hated her so much that I don't know that I would probably just throw her out of my head. I don't know, maybe. Or maybe I would learn some sort of kindness. I don't know. She didn't. That's why she was so funny. Because yeah, she was kind of a proto villain. We didn't really let her go far enough to find out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think those are the I think those are the ones that come to mind. And anything else that I can think of that I've seen you do is still kind of emergent, and I don't know well enough to go, oh yeah, other than just a copy. So I think that's where I'll leave that.
All right.
So for you, you poor thing. Imagine you wake up one morning. With yeah, poor thing. I don't even know where to start. You have to deal with them in your head. You've got them. Each just appears in the other's brain, bringing what they know with them. What would that be like? And what would you do?
That's a very complicated question.
How is it complicated? I immediately had answers.
You did immediately have answers. And in this moment where I'm going to acknowledge again, this is the second time we've done this. This is one of the ones I remembered. I remembered it because of the level to which I locked up on this one. Just absolutely, completely locked up.
Which I find baffling.
Because all I could feel was that I follow that person all the time, and I have, and my clowns follow that clown all the time, and I could not for the life of me figure out what it is that they would do.
Is that because they're unpredictable? Or is that because you only were watching their butt? I mean, what was going on that you were back there?
No, see, so what it is, what I reached by the end of it is that it's so dependent on their audience. On a lot of things, and that's because I think one of the most defining things your clown does is they flirt.
Oh, they do.
They flirt with everybody and everything.
True.
And I think, honestly, I got overwhelmed trying to process what all of that was, because it all actually boils down to flirting.
But not necessarily flirting with a mission.
No, no, flirting like a baby flirts. I don't think that they would have any idea. This is a dog chasing a car has no idea what they would do if they caught it.
I am not going to answer that question if it comes up.
But that is most certainly what it seems like. There's not intent. There's just flirting. But in this second time that I'm hearing this, one of the other things that I think is would be such a weird experience would also be the fact that the others wouldn't be in my head.
Oh.
The idea...
You finally have some quiet.
The idea of my clowns not being in here and being somewhere else. One, I'd be very curious about the experience of them coming back.
Having been We've back. Seen things! We've seen Hold them. Us!
And two, just it's that would be such a different experience. I don't have a lot of great words for that.
Do you have any thoughts on what it would be like to not have, you know, to have that little vacuum where your funny goes? Because you would have my funny, but it would be in a different place, the way I imagine it.
Oh, weird.
Do you have any thoughts about that? Because that's a really interesting question.
Yeah, I don't know if our funny is in the same place. It isn't.
That's why I'm
so
saying.
So it would be totally different.
Yeah.
And
you'd be simultaneously feeling that void.
Yeah.
It'd be like having phantom limb.
I think it would be. It'd be like, where is...
This clown would be like flirting with you, be like, shut up, I'm trying to figure out where my leg is.
Kind of. It's like, but I need to flirt with everybody. Like, okay, yeah, we can do that, but... Give me a second. Yeah, no, we're gonna hop. Give me a second. I'd also probably... No, you've never managed to actually bring any of that back, so I don't know if I could.
With what?
I was going to say I'd let him glance at maps of the local area, because...
Oh, he's got a better sense of direction than I do, yeah.
Way better sense of direction than you do, and I know mine could use some help, and I'm like...
Oh, so you're trying to borrow my superpower.
Borrow that superpower, but I have never seen you successfully do that. So.
I neither know why that's true. Nor how it works or why it works, but it has been consistently true. And the only logic I've ever had on it is that I would be in big trouble if I got lost on an event site. Like if I literally got lost. Mm-hmm. And so that panic lives so deeply in me that I refuse to wander. And so I look at a map and I just absorb it and 3D it in my head in a way that only my crisis clown state possibly could. Like me as a person, I'm like, no, we're just lost. We're just going to sit down and hope someone finds us. And that's what's going
to
happen.
That is not an option for your clown. Apparently, so that's not what happens.
Because there's flirting to be done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
So I think that's what I've got.
You've got look at maps.
Look at maps. And that's the other problem, of course, is I'll have to go find people.
Yeah, it's often like that. Well, I only wish you had more of an opinion. Of that guy. I find it interesting. I mean, you and I have performed together for years and you have no idea what that would be like.
I don't. I don't understand how that the person works.
Look, I don't either, but I can make some guesses.
I know that they do. I'd probably also drop things.
Probably. I'd also wear stripes. Jane wears stripes. I probably wear a lot of stripes.
I'd probably have to wear some orange.
Or baggy pants.
And baggy pants.
And you'd be bad in baggy pants. It's weird. It's almost as if the clown was made for me and your clown's made for you.
Yes.
Almost.
Almost. Oh, very nearly.
Probably not. You know, because mine just came from a discount shop. All right, next question. Let's go.
You're the one with the cards.
Oh. Friend, that's it.
That's it?
We've answered that one. We've done it.
Oh, yep. That's all
the
of them.
The time flew by as we got caught up in the deep woods with our friends. I really enjoyed this one.
I did too. This was fun.
It was so good I had it twice.
Yes.
And it was good. And thank you for listening. I pretend that you've listened to us twice.
And you know, I'm impressed if any of you had actually listened to us twice.
If you do listen to this twice, I'm curious why. I'm not saying don't do it. I think that's wonderful, but I'm curious why you've come back. In the meantime, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Yes, thank you very, very much. Please send us your questions.
Oh yeah, because now that we're not going to be saving them up between.
Yeah, so there won't be big announcements like new seasons and questions. Just send questions.
Just impulse control problem. You have a question, you ask us. We'll get it in the list.
It needs to hit my email address at somewhere.
Wow! So you don't want to tell anyone? It's got to be emailed to me in triplicate on the correct paperwork. I like that there's paperwork and carbon papers. I'm so old, my email address has carbon papers underneath it, so my other email address gets copies. What? let me help. Liam, who you work, this production is a production of the Circus Freaks.
Yes.
And as you know, their website is circusfreaks.org.
Yes.
And your first name at that address would likely get a question. I'm going to just put it on the website. It'll be easier.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stick it on the website. Just send us a message.
No, and if you send it to us on Fetty or
me,
that'll also
carrier
reach
pigeon.
Us.
If you send it in a card, if you show up on our doorstep, we're probably gonna be surprised because that would be surprising. But if you get us a question, we will add it to the queue. And anytime you send it, figure out what our slogan is.
Oh yes, please send us slogans.
And at the time we record this, we are just before the holidays, and here I know not everyone celebrates, and I know not everybody does. And all I'm going to say is, it tends to be an emotional meat grinder for people. Yes. It tends to be rough, and so go gently with yourself. And if you see someone who's maybe a little wound up, maybe realize they're going through it too, and go gentle with them if you can. If you can't, I mean, don't take crap. Don't do that. But go gentle if you can. And take care of yourselves, because we can't come over there and do it for you right now, because we're working on the building. And I think we'll see you next time, right here on
Two Clowns in a Closet.
So good.
I did it this time.
You did. There was no gap.
Mm-mm.
That was really nice. All right. I missed it. Did you feel it?
Yes.
I got caught up in it, and
you were
still
sitting
here
going. And I'm here.
Yeah.
This episode brought to you by mistakes.
Mistakes. They're beautiful.
They are.
All right.
Okay.
We'll see you next time.